Morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Our text is verse 19 to verse 23. Verse 19 to 23. I like what we've been studying so much out of this passage. It's been really helpful and enlightening. Let's look at beginning in verse 13. Our text begins in 19, but we're going to start reading in verse 13. So follow along, and I always want to, I feel like until we finish chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 13, just because I love that how that verse starts. Look what it says, consider the work of God. Amen. And if you just meditate on that, it'll just have you meditating all day, won't it? Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider, God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Love that last phrase. He that feareth God. Now our text, verse 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For ofttimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Now, verse 23, let's just read the first part of that verse. All this have I proved by wisdom. Let's do that again. That was pretty terrible. Verse 23, just the first part. All this have I proved by wisdom. We're going to be talking about the counsel of the Lord this morning. The counsel of the Lord, that's the title. Let's pray. Father, we pray your blessings and we trust your counsel. I just pray that you'd help us to be able to understand the difference between your counsel and any other counsel. Help us to be able to discern, to be able to differentiate, and so that with wisdom we can follow you. We'll give you glory as you work in us through this. Help our hearts to be open to receive what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The counsel of the Lord. There are a lot of counselors out there, aren't there? A lot of voices, a lot of things you'll hear that will be giving you guidance and giving you advice. And in life, you're going to need to learn how to discern good counsel from bad counsel, right? Let me give you some words of wisdom that someone collected from children. Here we go. Patrick, age 10 years old. Counsel, here's his counsel. All of this is counsel. He says, never trust a dog to watch your food. That's good counsel, I feel like. Michael, he's 14 years old. Here's what he said. When your dad is mad, and then he asks you this question, do I look stupid to you? Don't answer him. Michael says that. Michael, a different Michael, also 14, says, never tell your mom her diet's not working. Randy, he's 9 years old. Here's what he says. Stay away from prunes. Just mark that down, he says. Tracy, young lady, 14, says this. Never allow your 3-year-old brother in the same room as your school assignment. That's her guidance. Never let him in the room as your school assignment, okay? Andrew, he's 9 years old. He says this. Puppies still have bad breath even after they eat a Tic Tac. Okay. Kayo, interesting name, 9 years old, says this. Never hold a dustbuster and a cat in the same at the same time. Okay? Anybody not know what a dustbuster is? Okay. I was wondering. All these kids right here. We know what a dustbuster is, right? How, raise your hand if you still have a dustbuster. Okay. There we are, Miss Jackie. You use it? Okay. All right. Kids, ask Miss Jackie what a dustbuster is after church, okay? All right, here we go. A mere 9 years old says this: you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. That's good counsel. Naomi, 15 years old, says this: if you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. Okay? That's what Naomi says. Lauren, she's 9 years old. She says this: felt markers do not make good use as lipstick. Sounds like good counsel. Joel, he's 10. Here's what he said: don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. Very wise young man. Let's see. Eileen, she's 8 years old. She says this: never try to Sorry about that. Let's restart that one. Eileen, she is 8. She says, never try to baptize a cat. And I would guess that that's probably good counsel too. Now, all in fun, we say these things. But in truth, there are counselors out there who will try to tell you how you should make decisions. And we do face crossroads in life. And if we're honest about it, we face at some point a kind of crossroad every day because we have choices to make every day. And then sometimes in the week, we have bigger choices that need to be made. And then sometimes in life, we have gigantic choices that need to be made. And the truth about it is that people are going to try to help you and counsel you at all levels of choices that need to be made in life. If you're a teenager, consider this: that there are going to be people in your life that are going to come along and they're going to tell you the things that you should be involved with, and they're going to counsel you in the things that you should do or the things that you should consider. And so there's that peer pressure. And peer pressure isn't just a teenager thing, it's an all of us thing. And so there's counsel. There's counsel that guides us into bad investments, bad moves, how to handle challenging relationships, but it's not good counsel. And so what matters is in our life, in our hearts, it matters who we listen to. It matters who we're getting our guidance from. The voices that we're listening to, it makes a difference. And so we need to know how to discern wise counsel from not wise counsel. We need to be able to know when we're listening to the right voices and when we're not listening, or what we're hearing isn't the right voice. We need to be able to discern that. And so Solomon, he would have understood the temptation of this kind of pressure. By the way, in life, it's not always easy to make a wise choice, even when you know what you're hearing is bad counsel. Why? Because peer pressure is such a big part of who we are and what we experience. You could be hearing bad counsel, and you could know that it's bad counsel and still feel pressure to do it. Because who is telling you about it? Or who is guiding you to do this? And so Solomon would have understood that pressure. And he would have wanted his people, Israel, to know not just how to discern it, but how to take the stand in the right kind of guidance. So that's how he begins in verse 19. So follow what he says. It says, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. So Solomon is saying wisdom. He says wisdom here. Now wisdom comes from God, doesn't it? Now when we say wisdom, we're not talking about man's wisdom. We're talking about God's wisdom, and that's what Solomon is referencing, God's wisdom. Do you know what the word philosophy means? The word philosophy, it can have an implied meaning. So for you and I, we could have a godly philosophy, right? Which is the way we think. It's the way we think things should operate. So we have a philosophy which is the way we think. If we put the word godly in front of it, then we've changed the meaning really of the word philosophy. Why? Because the word philosophy all by itself is not a godly word. How can you say that, Pastor? Here's why. Because it's built on two words. Phileo is the Greek word that means love. Sophia is the Greek word for man. And so literally, the word philosophy means the love of man. The love of man's wisdom is what it implies. Philosophy, the word by itself means man, the loving of man's wisdom. So it has to be clarified when we embrace philosophy that we're embracing God's philosophy, because man has a philosophy, doesn't he? There is a wisdom in this world that's not of God. And that wisdom is not this wisdom that Solomon is talking about. So you have God's wisdom, and then you have man's wisdom or man's philosophy. Now, where does God's wisdom come from? If we're going to be, as Solomon said, wisdom strengtheneth, give strength. If we're going to have God's wisdom, where are we going to get it? Well, that's not complicated if you know references in the Bible. Now, Jesus made it plain. Remember in Matthew 7, in the closing of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them will be likened unto a wise man, which buildeth his house upon a rock. And then the rains and the storms descend, and it doesn't destroy the house." Why? Because it's built on wisdom. What is wisdom? Hearing these sayings of mine and doing them. So wisdom isn't just knowing the right things. You need to understand, wisdom isn't just knowledge. Knowledge is knowledge. But wisdom is built on the right knowledge. You're wise if you know God's word and his ways. But what makes you wise is that you obey them. It's not enough that you know them. What makes somebody wise is knowing God's word and his principles and then obeying that. So wisdom is built on God's word. Don't lose your place here. Put the little ribbon thingy there or a track or something and go to Psalm 119 with me. It's actually just a few pages backwards, right before Proverbs. Psalm 119, verse number 1. Bear with my voice, church family. Verse number 1, Psalm 119. Look what it says. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." He's already telling us where that wisdom comes from, isn't he? Walking in the law of the Lord. Look what he says in verse 2. It says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart." So we hear God's word, we embrace God's word, we study God's word, and while we're doing it, we're not going through some kind of a ceremony. Our morning rituals, by the way. You say, "Well, Pastor, I never have rituals." That's not true. We all have rituals. And one of my very favorite things is, first of all, reading my Bible, but with coffee. I do that every day. I drink coffee and I read my Bible. It's kind of a ritualistic thing. But it's not enough that it's ritual. Ritual doesn't give you wisdom. You have to seek it with your whole heart. And so we're seeking him, he says in verse 2. Look what it says in verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes." It's not just knowing the word. It's not just making it a part of your daily routine. It's with a whole heart seeking him, desiring to embrace him. Look at verse number 15, same chapter. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. What's the word meditate mean? Somebody? To think about it. Brother John, you got it. It's to think about it. And so he says, I will meditate. So we know God's word. We seek him. But throughout the day, like the Psalm 1 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Wisdom comes from his word, getting in us with the desire to know him and to know his word. Why? So we can do what he says. And we meditate on it so we can activate it in our life and in our heart. Meditating on his word. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Go back to Ecclesiastes now. So there's wisdom in knowing and obeying by faith God's word. That's where wisdom is. And so Solomon says that wisdom strengthens you. It's where your strength comes from. You say, Pastor, I'm pretty weak these days. Well, where do you get strength? Strength comes from wisdom, and wisdom comes from God. We need strength in him, and we need wisdom in him. We need to meditate on his word, and we need to seek him with our whole heart. And he strengthens us with that. But look at the last part of that verse, because he says, more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. So this imagery of mighty men, which, by the way, in the Bible is a common theme that you'll hear about the kings. King David, he had his mighty men. It's not just normal soldiers who would have been, I would say, from my perspective, also mighty men, soldiers in the army who are following King David. But then you have those that are mighty men, the men who are valiant. And he said, he references these mighty men. And the wisdom that God strengthens us with is of more value than these mighty men. Now, what is Solomon saying here? Now, get this. He's talking about the counsel of God, the wisdom of God, and then the counsel or the wisdom of mighty men in this world. 10 mighty men, their guidance, their counsel, and their strength doesn't hold a candle to the strength found in the wisdom of God. That's what he's saying. As a matter of fact, think of this. The world is confident in their wisdom. That philosophy that the world has, they're confident in it, which is so frustrating to me. It kind of makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. It makes my blood boil a little bit. I think you know what I mean with those analogies, right? Why? Because the world comes in with a bulldozer. The world comes in with absolute confidence in what they teach to our children in this system of man's philosophy in this world, both in the public education and in the universities. They come in with confidence. And the truth of the matter is, it's not even true. There's no eternal value in the philosophy of this world. Yet, they teach it with confidence. So now our young people are growing up in a world based and built on man's philosophy, who are giving them this philosophy with absolute confidence, and our children are facing this crossroad, and it's a difficult thing for them. Why? Because the world is confident in their view of the right path, and God obviously is confident in his view. But sometimes the voices that our children are listening to are louder in this world than they are in the realm of God's way. Why? Well, let's talk about this. So the mighty men or the counsel of this world is louder. Why? It's because we as not just parents, but as a generation have neglected the wisdom of God and embraced the philosophy of this world. And so now we come, our children come to church who are in the public system, and they have to answer questions like this in their heart and in their mind. And they might not even verbalize it, but they ask questions like this. I wonder if evolution can be true and the Bible. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and believe in evolution, and I'm going to believe in God, because both of them can be, you know, in our kids are having to reconcile things like that. Why? Because of the philosophy of this world. Amen. And here's what God says. God says, my wisdom is stronger than 10 mighty men in this world. And so he's putting one against the other. As confident as this world is, their wisdom will fail. And God's wisdom will stand. So keep that in mind. Look what he says in verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth. Just chew on that for a second. How many people in this world are without flaw in their motives? How many men in this world who develop, produce, and communicate their wisdom, their philosophy to this world, how many of that are in this world are without error, or rather without corruption in their counsel or in their motives? Well, he says here, not one. He says, let's see, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So man's heart is corrupt. Man's best idea is polluted by his motives. Man's best ideas. Proverbs 20 says this, who can say I have made my heart clean and am pure from my sins? Can a man say that without God? No. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 10. It is written, and by the way, when he said it is written, he's quoting Psalm 14. He says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. This reminds me of a young man that I was having a discussion with years ago about evolution, and he had visited the church by the request or invitation of a neighbor of his that attended our church, and we engaged in a conversation about evolution, and I just matter-of-factly told him that evolution wasn't true, and that really offended him. And he said, you mean to tell me that you're going to reject the wisdom of all of these scholars who have put all of this information together for decades and centuries, and you're just going to just toss it aside? And I said, yes. And he didn't like that. It offended him. Why would he embrace with such confidence? Because the world, in their wisdom, has confidence. But God says that there's no person in this world that is pure in not only their wisdom, but in their philosophy, because their motives are corrupt. They're polluted in their counsel because of their sin. That's what he's saying. Now, here's what we have then. We have, and I think I'm trying to funnel this into the point that I believe Solomon is making. So we have God's wisdom and we have man's wisdom. And this is being funneled into something we're just about to read, to a point where I think it touches all of us. Why do we need to hear this, Pastor? Here's why. Because not only do all of us in here have times when we're tempted to listen to this world's counsel, but this is going to blow your mind. But there's not one person in here who doesn't face temptation of putting pressure on people to do what you want them to do instead of God. Now you say, Pastor, are you sure that's what we're getting to? I'm absolutely sure. I'm going to say it again and then we're going to read it. You have man's wisdom and you have God's wisdom. Amen. All of us in here face the pressure from this world to do what people want us to do, and we're not listening to God. Why did you do that? Well, because so-and-so wanted me to do that. That's one side of the coin, but you know what's on the other side of the coin? Is that sometimes we're the ones that are putting pressure on people to do something instead of seeking God about what they should do. Now let's see that. Verse number 21. Also, he says, take no heed unto all words that are spoken. Could he be talking about people who are giving us counsel in this world? People who are trying to tell us what we should and shouldn't do. That's what he's saying. Lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. That's the motive. This is why people listen to people instead of God. Because they don't want somebody to curse them. They're afraid. For oft times, verse 22, also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Just like we do sometimes what we do because we're afraid of what somebody will think of us, sometimes we put pressure on other people to do things and we make them afraid of what we will think of them if they don't do what we say. That's what he's saying. That's eye-opening. Do you know what this motivation is? If God is not what's motivating our decisions, ultimately, then what is motivating our decisions? Fear of men. Fear of men. Or our own selfish ambition. We don't want to hear someone curse us, so we're motivated to do what they want us to do. Sometimes that counsel of people is to have an expectation of what we want them to do. And both of these things are wrong in their motives. Remember what Peter said? He said we ought to obey God rather than who? We should always expect people to obey God. We should never even teach our children that they only do what they do because I said so. No, sir. Now you need to learn how to obey me because I'm your dad. But the reason why is because guess who said children obey your parents in the Lord? God said that. Amen. Our children even need to learn that what motivates them to do everything that they do is not because I said so. Because God said so. His counsel is always not just what we should follow, but what we should be teaching people to follow. You know, I love what he said next. He said in verse 23, all this have I proved by wisdom. So in other words, this isn't a theory, friends. This is proven by wisdom. Sometimes people only do what they do because they're feeling pressured to do it. I'm going to say that again. And then you, if you know, you should consider saying amen to that, okay? Let me say it again. Sometimes people only do what they do because they're feeling pressured to do it. Amen. That's true. Remember we brought up teenagers. Sometimes teenagers tell other teenagers what they should do. And then after that counsel, and then they did it, it's not until either they're in the middle of it or they come to the aftermath of it that they realize, you know, that was kind of a bad idea. You know, it's like you're standing there and then other teenagers are around. They're like, you should jump off of that. You should jump.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if this is a good...
See, something voices in you telling you this isn't a good idea, right? And, the teenagers are all like, you should jump. And they're like, you know, maybe I should jump. You know, and then you jump. And then after you jumped, you realize, I shouldn't have done that. You know, this wasn't a good idea. And there's that peer pressure that's there. There was a young man, this happened recently actually, a young man in Falls City we're friends with, and And from time to time, we do FaceTime. And he was walking outside in the snow, and it's like negative degrees there. Not today, but it was that day. And he was bare feet, walking outside in the snow. I'm like, are you crazy? You know? And then the boys suggested that he goes out there and does a snow angel. You know? I don't know if he was in a t-shirt. Something tells me he was. Was he? Okay. And a t-shirt and shorts. Mercy. Negative degrees in the snow. Now, he goes out there and does a snow angel and videos it so that we can laugh at it, right? But guess who put that great idea in his mind? It was us, right? And we tease him and we laugh at things like that, just like all the kids that we talked about earlier in the message. But listening to peer pressure as a motive of fear of men and doing what we do because of what people suggest, that is not wise. I'm going to say that again. That is not wise. That's what he's saying. He says, you know what? Do you know what makes you strong? God's wisdom. Do you know what doesn't make you strong? 10 mighty men. You find 10 mighty men in here because they're here. And you do what you do because of what these 10 mighty men say, you're not wise. That's what he's saying. But if you do what you do because God is telling you to do it, you're wiser than the wisdom of 10 mighty men. We need this. Why? Because so often we are absolutely not motivated by what God is telling us to do. We are motivated by what we are experiencing around us. What people are telling us we should and shouldn't do. What we are feeling pressured to and to not do. And it's not wisdom. Proverbs 29 says this, the fear of man bringeth a, does anybody know the next word? A snare. Thank you. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Do you know what somebody who isn't being motivated by God's wisdom becomes? Trapped. Right. Trapped in the shackles of what other people expect you to be. And if that's you this morning, then that's what you feel. You feel trapped in the expectations of the people around you. You're not free. You're not free. There's freedom in Jesus. Amen. There's freedom in God's wisdom, but not in man's wisdom. And so if we are just doing what we're doing because of the pressure of the people around us, we might look like we're doing good, but we're not doing good. But that's not wisdom. What makes us wise? It's God's wisdom that makes us wise, not man's wisdom. There was a young man in Bible. In fact, I'm not even going to talk about one particular person because this is so common at Bible college. It's every semester that there are young people that go to Bible college and they do not want to be there. You understand what I'm saying? There are young people that go to Bible college and they're not really interested in being at Bible college. And, you know, sometimes there's effort there in those classes, you know, but it's just to get it over with, really. And then sometimes there's no effort. And mom and dad paid for them to go to college that 1 year to get that Bible foundation. They don't show up to class. They don't do any of their homework. And they just sleep in and goof off and sometimes show up to class. And they flunk because they don't care. They don't want to be there anyway. You see? And so there are times when people, they live their life that way. I don't know if we're processing this. Look up here. Look at me. I'm glad that all of you kids are here. And all the kids that are in here. I'm glad you're here. But did you know that you're here doesn't mean that right now you want to be here? Let me say that again. I'm glad that you're here. But just because you're here doesn't mean you want to be. Do you know the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom? is whenever it's not, I'm here because I have to be. I'm here because I love him.
Amen.
Man's wisdom, God's wisdom. You got to move from this to this. Because if you're motivated by this, you are not wise. You could be doing all the right things, but it doesn't mean you're wise.
Amen.
By the way, it doesn't mean you're what either?
Strong.
You're not strong. You are weak. But what makes you strong? It's not man. It's not doing the do's and avoiding the don'ts. Looking good. That's not wisdom. Wisdom comes from him.
Amen.
He changes you on the inside.
Amen.
And then he makes his way to the outside.
Amen.
And then you just, I can't wait. I get to read my Bible tomorrow. I get to go to church. I can't wait to hear what God's going to do. See, you have God's wisdom on one side, and you have man's wisdom on the other. If you're motivated by man's wisdom, you're not strong. And why do we need to hear this? Because so often, if we're honest, we're motivated by man's wisdom and not God's. Solomon identified it. We need to be able to identify it in our life too. So that we, two things and then we're done. So that first of all, we will learn to listen to God's counsel. Well, that means, I'm glad Pastor did this. I don't have to listen to my parents anymore. Wrong-o. Guess what God said? Children, obey your parents. Well, I don't have to go to church. No. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Listen, it's God's counsel. But we need to be motivated by that, not man's wisdom. That's one side of the coin. Now we're going to say the other side and we're done. Let's not put pressure on people to do what we say. Let's teach people the right path, but because this is what God says. God's wisdom is what people need, not fear of us. I hope this helps. Counsel of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing. And Lord, I love just going through Scripture. And I have to confess to you that I am surprised. I shouldn't be. But I feel surprised of how blessed Ecclesiastes has been. And this particular thought, Lord, and how helpful it's been in my own heart to see your wisdom. And what motivates us is knowing that we're doing what you want us to do. And we're where you want us to be. And that's enough. Guide us in your path. Strengthen us where we're weak. We'll give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.